the Battle of Armageddon, the coming of the Lord at the end of that time, and went right into, I believe, as I said last week, and I don't want to confuse anybody, but I believe there's two kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an earthly kingdom we'll read about in just a minute, and then there's the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think Revelation separates those pretty well. So Revelation 20, verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. I've told you before, but I thought it good to remind you tonight. In these 7 verses, the term 1,000 years is used 6 times. In the New Testament, it's only used 9 times. And 6 of them are found here. 2 of them are back in 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he's quoting from the 90th Psalm, which was written, I believe, as near as I can tell, by Moses, where he said 1,000 years is just like a day to the Lord. 1,000 years as a day, and a day is 1,000 years to the Lord, Peter says. As we read these, we find this term in verse 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. 6 times, 1,000 years. Now, I just mentioned this briefly last week. I'm going to emphasize it again. There are 3 different positions, and I say this hesitantly. Actually, there's 1,000 different positions, but they fall into one of these 3 categories. There is the post-millennial position, which believes that Christ will come after the millennium, this 1,000 years that's spoken of here. And there is the amillennial, which the man who called me, as I spoke of earlier in the week, is a amillennial. He didn't like the fact that I was premillennial. The other position is premillennial, which means we believe, and I teach you, that Christ will come before this 1,000-year reign. He's going to come to the earth, and he's going to reign for 1,000 years. Now, that's one of his reigns, but we know there's another. Because when we get into Revelation 21, we see new heavens and a new earth, and we see a new kingdom. Daniel says a lot about that, this everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're dealing particularly in this series of messages with the earthly kingdom of Christ spoken of here, I believe, in Revelation chapter number 20, verses 1 through 7. Post means before. When people talk about the post-World War, Second World War, it means after the war. Pre means before, that's easy to understand. And when you read the Bible and many of our English words, when you add an A to the front of a word, it changes it to a negative. For example, we believe the word moral. We should be moral. But when you put an A in front of moral, what do you have? Amoral, which means not moral, immoral. So just one letter in the Greek language can change a word from a positive thing to a negative thing. Now, the man I talked to on the phone is an amillennialist. He does not believe there is any millennium. He does not believe that there's 1,000-year reign on this earth. Now, there's a lot of men that of that same persuasion. I try not to get into contention with them. I try to love them, let them believe what they want. I try to teach what I believe God teaches me and leave it there because I can't convince them. They're so deep in when what they believe, you're wasting your time and a lot of energy to try to change their position. Just let them believe what they believe. But I am teaching this church, and I have taught this church from the beginning, and it's in our, it's on our internet site. It's in our little books, on our little visitation cards, that we are pre-millennial. We believe that Christ will come before this thousand-year reign. Now, if you notice your Bible, we just went through Revelation talking about leading up to the Battle of Armageddon, which I believe is closed out in chapter 19 when we see in the last few verses. Verse 20, the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Gehenna, two men, the beast and a false prophet. They were the first, and they are the first, to go into Gehenna, the eternal destruction, the lake of fire described in the Bible. Now, if you look in the verses that we read, verse number 4 says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. When did it happen? Well, it happened down through time, but particularly it happened during the time of the tribulation period. Let's read on. And for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, I don't think God emphasized 1,000 years 6 times in 7 verses to mislead us and to try to turn this into something spiritual that we can't understand. And to be an all-millennialist, you just have to discard this. It doesn't really mean what it says. It must mean something spiritual. And they're all over the place with it. There's all different varieties of all-millennialists. And again, you're wasting your time. Remember what I preached a few weeks ago? You're better off to spend your time preaching what the Bible says. Don't try to disprove what everybody else thinks they believe. You cannot ever gain any advantage like that. You can never cover all the questions. Just preach what the Bible says and leave it there. Because if the Holy Spirit bears witness with it, you'll know it's the truth. So we depend on that. Now, as we think about this coming kingdom, Christ must come back to bring about this kingdom of peace. You can read about it in the Old Testament prophets. And we read some of those last week. The lamb shall lay down with a lion, and they'll eat grass like an ox, and so on. And the meat-eating animals will eat grass like an ox. Have you seen that fulfilled anywhere else? Have we seen any place in the Bible where that will be fulfilled? No, you can't find it. Because the only place that it will be fulfilled is in this time on this earth for 1,000 years. This earth. And that's what I think we have to emphasize. This thousand-year reign is on the earth that we now dwell on. Man has been here for about 6,000 years. There's been no peace. There'll be no peace. Because Satan has been loose. Peter says he's like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And all the sickness and all the sin and all the evil and all the things that we have to deal with are because Satan is loose. But we begin our reading. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. There's a lot of questions in this. I know that someone asked me the other day, anybody going to die during the millennium? I said, well, it seems to imply that they are going to die during the millennium. Well, all the lost people, there are going to be lost people there. I said, no, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say there's only going to be saved people. As a matter of fact, it indicates that those who are alive when the Lord comes that are lost are going to enter into that millennium. Because if not, as we go on and read in chapter number 20, verse 8, when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Now, if everybody during the millennium is saved, who is he going to deceive? He can't deceive. We have a new body. We have a glorified body. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. Our body's going to be conformed to his glorious body. He can't deceive us because we have the nature of Christ. We have not only the Spirit of God, but we have the body, the new glorified body. So from that, you should come to the conclusion that there's going to be lost people living on this earth during that thousand-year reign. I can't explain all that to you, but I can tell you this. If this happens, that's the one Satan's going to take, and as it says, gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The earth of it is going to be repopulated. If people go into the millennium lost and they're not saved during that time, what are their children going to be? What kind of nature are they going to have? Same nature they've got. Who will they follow if Satan is loosed? What happens to them when Satan is loosed out of that pit? Who are they going to follow? They're going to follow the nature that's in them, which has not been changed. They're still lost. And therefore, Satan won't have any problem deceiving them and leading them up, as it says, went up the breadth of the earth, encompassed the camp of the saints about the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. These aren't saved people. They're people that haven't been changed. They still have that old nature. So, I want to deal with Satan and the millennium. Just specifically, I'm going to try to concentrate on him. Because as we began our reading, and that's why I read this tonight, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. During the millennium, Satan is going to be bound. We read in the scriptures, Jesus said he's the prince and power, or Jesus said he's the prince of this earth, the prince of the world. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he's the prince and power of the air. Now he is loose. Now he has power. But as we read further in Revelation, we find that during this time of tribulation, the prince and power of the air is going to be cast out of heaven. As we study in Job chapter number 1, today he has access to heaven. He has access to God to be the accuser of the brethren. He's there accusing us day and night. But when he is cast out of heaven, that is going to be cut off. And we can read about that in the scriptures, and we'll do that just in a minute. He's called the adversary. He's the adversary of God, and he's the adversary of man. He's our enemy. That's what Peter speaks about. Let's turn back and read this in 1 Peter chapter number 5. And beginning in the first verse of 1 Peter chapter number 5, he says this. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. What's my primary responsibility? Feed this church. Yes, I'm to be a witness. I'm to do anything I can in the gospel. My primary responsibility to this church is to feed the flock of God. Read on. Taking the oversight. That's part of my responsibility too. Sometimes people don't like that, but that's my responsibility. I can't just let the church do anything that someone might think needs to be done. The church needs a leader. And that leader is the pastor. And the people need to follow the pastor because God put him in that position to be the overseer, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, not for money, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. That ought to humble you. We're not lord over anybody. We're an example. Now notice verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. Pastor, be clothed with humility. Church member, be clothed with humility. That's the same teaching Paul gives us in the book of Ephesians and in the book of Colossians. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now look at verse number 8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul teaches the same thing. God will make, with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. So he is our enemy. He is our adversary. Now, when he is bound, things are going to change. We should readily understand that. He's not going to have the same access that he has today. People aren't going to be affected by him the same way they are affected today. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth. I believe he's going to rule out of Jerusalem. I think it's going to be more or less where his home base is. I don't know, maybe capital, anyway you want to talk about it. But I believe he's going to rule out of Jerusalem. That's what this same chapter talks about, the beloved city. Where is the beloved city? Jerusalem. They're going to encircle Jerusalem. And you're going to send fire down from God out of heaven. Now, when Satan is bound, things are going to change. He hasn't been bound for all these years. Remember in Genesis chapter number 3, the Lord promised that he was going to overcome the work of Satan. He was going to bruise the heel of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he was going to be crushed. Has he been crushed yet? No. And therefore, the problems that we see seem to increasingly become more and more severe, more and more troubling. On and on, the world rushes into destruction. But if he's bound and cast into the bottomless pit and shut up, and a seal is set upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I believe there's going to be 1,000 years on this earth of peace. I do understand, and I read in the Old Testament, that the child shall die being 100 years old, and it seems to be in this very same period. I don't know that death has been done away with. As I said, if there's lost people there, are they going to die? I know God's people are going to be there. It's already, we read that. They shall live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Saved people are going to be there. Lost people are going to be there. We're going to be reigning with Christ, but the lost people are going to be living in a natural body that still has the ability to sin. It's restrained because Satan is bound. It does not have the unlimited access it has today. Now, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, Satan is going to be bound. The roaring lion, in 1 Peter chapter 5, has had to submit himself to the lion of the tribe of Judah. When Christ comes all the way to the earth, and I believe it's the end of the tribulation period, I believe he's going to set up this kingdom at some point. And this kingdom is going to begin, and it's going to go on for 1,000 years. If you'll notice in your Bible, chapter number 20 follows chapter number 19, the destruction of all those armies that came against the Lord. And he comes out of heaven on that white horse. They're all destroyed. They're all killed. But some people are still on this earth who are alive. Young children, still alive. They're going to grow up. They're going to live for 1,000 years. Like they did in the days of Adam and Methuselah. They're going to grow up. They're going to reproduce children. Those children, if they're not saved, they're going to be lost. And they're going to be easy access for Satan when he's unloosed out of that bottomless pit, as we just read in our text. Now, when we think about Satan, I want you to read, and there's two places we could read it, but I'm just going to read one. I think most of you are familiar with this, but in Isaiah 14, verse number 12, the description of Satan. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12 through verse number 17. It's found also in Ezekiel 28. You can mark that in your Bible and read it as you had time. But I like this passage in verse 12 of Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I'll ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Does that sound like the bottomless pit? Sounds like it to me. Read on. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? Now some people get hung up over, well, he's called a man here. Satan is a spirit being. He's a created being. He's the highest of all the angels that have ever been created. We know that he fell from heaven. Jesus said, I beheld him fall from heaven. But we also know in Revelation, as we read this in the book of Revelation, that he has access to heaven until this point during the tribulation period when he's going to be cast out. Let's look in Revelation chapter 12. Just turn back a few pages. Verse number 1, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and under her head a crown of 12 stars. Remember my message Sunday? Remember Joseph's dream? What did he figure his brethren as? And that dream that he had where those sheaves bowed down before him. The sun and the moon and the stars made obeisance to him. Now let's go on. I believe this is Israel, verse number 1. She being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. There appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which had was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Remember Hezekiah? Chapters 12 through 14. They shall look upon him whom they pierced. There's coming a time when Israel, as a nation, is going to look upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to wail and they're going to weep and they're going to cry. Because they're going to realize they crucified their own Messiah. And I think this parallels that. Read verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations and a rod with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up into God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that she should feed her there, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 3.5 years. Remember the tribulation period is divided into 2 periods, 3.5 years. There was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and the angels were cast out with him. Fallen angels. And heard a loud voice saying, in heaven now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. I've already said that. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the blood of their, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Now look at this verse. Verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. During that tribulation period, when Satan is cast out to the earth, he's going to run rampant. You've not seen anything like it's going to be. When he is unlimited and he's going to run rampant, he's going to try to destroy Israel. He's going to try to destroy God's children. And during that time, verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth a man-child. Where's Christ today? He's been caught up to heaven. Israel didn't know it. She travailed. She didn't even know that she gave forth a child. But Christ was born. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. They did not receive him. He's in heaven. He was caught up to heaven. But Satan is going to try to destroy all of the promised seed during that tribulation period. And he's going to be running rampant. And I'll tell you, I've told you about the time when I was a kid, and I used to read Revelation, and it terrified me. I read about the things, the sun burning up men and all the different things that are going to happen. It's terrifying. And, beloved, I can't even begin to imagine what it's really going to be like. We read those things, but we don't understand it fully. But it's bad enough that we can understand when he is loosed and he's running rampant over this earth, it's going to be a bad time. So as far as the millennium is concerned, this is leading up to the millennium. Because in the millennium, where is he going to be? He's going to be in the bottomless pit. He's going to be restrained. He has no power. And he's going to be bound with chains. Now, notice when you look at the beast in Revelation, for example, in chapter 17, the mystery of Babylon the Great, you saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. And notice verse 8, the beast that thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder whose names were not written in the book of life. You see, beloved, Paul's man of sin in 2 Thessalonians is the same as John's Antichrist in 1 John, chapter number 4. He can be called Antichrist, he can be called a man of sin, he can be called a beast. He's the same person. But I want you to notice, there's a trinity here. There's three of them. In Revelation chapter 17, in verse 13, these have one mind. These have one mind. There's more than one. Talking about the ten horns and the beast that was and is not. But we have the dragon, which is Satan. We have the beast, which is a man of sin, if you want to call him that, or the Antichrist. And we have another called the false prophet. Now, I don't know all about this unholy trinity. It seems to be an unholy trinity to me. But when we look at this and we see the false prophet and the dragon, and he gives his power to the beast, and he's going to have power like you can't believe. You think Biden's got power. Well, you see what that really is leading up to. It's going to be worse than anything Biden can do. But there's coming a man, an antichrist, a beast, a false prophet who will be with him. He's going to cause all people to fall down and worship this man. That's all contained here in Revelation. And it's all leading up to chapter number 20. When those three are turned loose on this earth, the earth's going to be in a terrible time. But remember in chapter 19 what we read? Verse 19. Revelation 19:19, I saw the beast. There's your antichrist. There's your false prophet. There's your man of sin. I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on his horse and against his army. That's Christ, Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. There's the other part of this trinity. The beast and the false prophet. The false prophet caused all men to see that mark in their hands or in their forehead, and to worship the beast who was wounded with a deadly wound, and yet he lived. Now, verse 20, the last part, these both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. These, who are these? Well, the beast and the false prophet. But there's another part of this trinity, and that's what leads us into chapter number 20, and that's what I told you when we began this message. I prefer to just follow what the Bible gives me. Because immediately after the Battle of Armageddon and casting into Gehenna the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, they're the first two that are cast in there. Then we see what happens to the third person of this unholy trinity. The angel comes down and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil. And he's bound for 1,000 years in a bottomless pit. The unholy trinity has been overcome. The beast and the false prophet are in Gehenna, the lake of fire, the first two humans to go into that place. And if you'll follow in Revelation chapter number 20, verse 7, when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And she'll go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters. Who's that going to be? They have to be lost people. Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Now, you can understand, for 1,000 years, lost people have been on this earth. They've been reproducing. They've been having children and children and children. And the number is as the sand of the sea. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, that's Jerusalem, the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now notice verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now all three persons of the unholy Trinity are in Gehenna, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And immediately in verse 11, I saw a great white throne. And it goes on to tell you later on in this chapter, this is the second death, verse number 14, the last part. As I look at the Bible and I follow through the book of Revelation and I see the time of tribulation, I see the things that are going to happen, and I see this battle of Gehenna, battle of Armageddon, and I see followed immediately by them being cast into Gehenna. And then I see Satan bound, and for 1,000 years this world is going to know peace. Think why that would be necessary. Why would God bring this about? Who is going to be king during this time? Who's going to reign? We're going to reign with him, the Bible says. His suffering, his rejection, his cursings, the violence that he experienced, he's going to be vindicated. He's going to be fully and completely vindicated against all of his enemies who hated him. And he's going to be, as his inscription over his cross said, this is a king of the Jews, king of kings and lord of lords, Revelation 19. He's going to be vindicated. He's going to reign on this earth. He's going to undo what Adam brought into this world. He's going to do what Adam should have done and couldn't. And we won't get into that because that's a little mystery too. But I believe for 1,000 years, God's going to bring peace on this earth through the Prince of Peace. Satan is the prince of the earth, but Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And I believe this 1,000-year reign that we're talking about, this kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on this earth, is going to be a time like the earth has never known. I think it's, and I said this in an earlier message, it's going to be very much like it was before the fall. It'll be like the Garden of Eden. I believe the earth will be producing wondrously. I think there'll be all kinds of glorious things going on. I believe that the beast will eat grass like an ox. And I believe the child can lay down by the hole of the serpent and not be harmed. Because Satan is going to be restrained and evil is going to be held back, because the Prince of Peace is reigning over this earth for 1,000 years. Beloved, you ought to get excited about that. And that's not the end of it. I think Ron said in his prayer. Maybe it's Tim, I don't know. That's just the beginning. That's the earthly kingdom. But then there's an everlasting kingdom. And this is what I like about what I believe and what I think God taught me. In chapter number 22, or chapter number 21, starts with what? I saw a new heaven, a new earth. We read in 2 Peter that this earth is going to pass away with a great noise. It's going to be destroyed. But there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. There's going to be a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. That is the everlasting kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope it don't confuse you. I want primarily now to think about the earthly kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. And we're going to be there. And if you serve the Lord, remember all of his promises. You just give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet. We're going to be rewarded for those things. And I believe we'll be there in that 1,000-year millennium. We're going to reign with him on this earth. And then, beloved, we're going to enter into the everlasting kingdom. So, again, I don't want to confuse you, but we're going to have to dismiss. It's time to close.